Hi everyone, welcome back to Uncensored. I'm Marianne from Yachts Mermaids, your host. And for today I have on the other side of the screen, Sarah, who is a current chief stew from Croatia. And she has a really interesting topic that she wants to share that she has experienced in the industry. So before we get into that, welcome Sarah, thanks for being here with us today.
Hi everybody, hi Marianne, thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for, you know, for showing up and deciding to speak up about something that you're very passionate about in the moment. So for those who are listening, what Sarah wants to share with us today is the discrimination that she has experienced, that she has seen in the industry when it comes down to country of origin and also language that is, you know, the person speaks. So when I say this, what comes up for you, Sarah?
Yeah, well, I experienced it myself several times, especially like when you're job hunting, as I am at the moment, because I wasn't able to join my boat because of the whole coronavirus and everything, unfortunately. So it's been quite tough in general because of the whole situation. But lately, I have been seeing so many of these job posts where you have to be an English native speaker, especially from this one agency that I'm not going to be dropping names or anything. Of course, people work because they need to. I don't know. They deal with these type of boats and management companies that require this type of chief stew or crew. They don't usually, it doesn't usually apply to maybe some junior positions or maybe deck crew, but specifically like chief stew or heads of department, they tend to always lean on that side. Girl has to be from either England or Australia or something like that. It doesn't matter if your English is fluent, like I think mine is also like written. It's about like where you're born and where your passport is from, I guess. Because as soon as they see my name, my last name, they're not interested in how well I speak or I don't. My CV is immediately going to be pushed on the side because I don't fit the profile, you know. I feel strongly about it because I know I have been affected in many, many of these job opportunities. And I'm not saying that I'm a great fit for all of these job posts or roles that I have wanted to apply or try to apply for. I'm just saying, like, I don't know why this seems to be such a big deal lately. Maybe these captain, I know sometimes owners have preferences, but I have learned through experience, and I'm in touch with a lot of people also on Instagram. I know a lot of yachties, a lot of girls that have been through the same situation that I have been, and it's like in 80% of the case, the preference of the captain. So from one reason or another, these captains don't want to have crew from, I don't know, Eastern Europe or Latin America or Spanish girls or something like that. Maybe they had some bad experience. I know some of these people don't speak English like perfectly, or maybe that's the problem. I'm not sure. But I just don't like the fact that we are all being put in the same basket, like just not being able to, you know, be put forward for a position just because I'm from a certain country. I think we should all have the same opportunity and the same, you know, chance to promote ourselves, to, you know, prove ourselves to the employer, to the captain or whoever we're dealing with, and just have the same chance as the other girl that comes from England or wherever she is. Not saying that we're better or they're better, just have equal chance to get that job, because we're also, I mean, I'm also capable of landing that type of position maybe, but I'm just not given the opportunity. I'm just speaking from my point of view, but I know that a lot of girls, I have spoken to a lot of girls that have been in the same situation as I have. So, and I also had an interesting conversation with an agent recently. She's from, she's based in Fort Lauderdale. She works with an agency that's well known. She's a lovely, lovely girl, and we've been in touch a lot lately. But she told me, like, I definitely think that your CV needs to look way better. You have to work way harder, in my opinion, because you are discriminated. This, I've been told this by an agent, recruitment agent.
Okay. So she's, and
I understand your situation. And I was like, oh my God, this is the first time that somebody has like openly, you know, said that to me, something that I have known, but never addressed it, you know? She's right. Like, yeah, I know, it happens all the time. I always have to work as double and prove to the captain or the management company that this girl is right for the position in order for me to put her forward, just because she's like, I don't know, maybe from Brazil or like you from Croatia or some other country. And I don't think this is a good thing, to be honest, because we're all in this. I know this is like an industry that's kind of like English, you know, English-based people, and I'm okay with that. I don't have anything against anybody, but I'm just like, let's give an opportunity to everybody, you know, to prove themselves and to land a job.
So thanks for sharing. What's coming up for me is, I think you've been in the industry for quite a while, and you said that you are recently kind of seeing this happen more often. So was it an issue when you joined the yachting industry, or is this something that you have been just exposed to recently?
Well, I don't know. I'm sure that this was a problem and an issue, like even before I joined yachting. I'm sure of it. I mean, nobody needs to tell me that, but I guess I haven't really noticed it or haven't, you know, felt it on my own skin, because I was fortunate enough to land my first job through, you know, just knowing the right people, as well as the second job. And I stayed on my second boat for 4 years. So it's when I left that boat and started to deal with agents and recruitment agencies and just, you know, kind of dived into that whole Facebook world and Instagram world with all these jobs and popping left, right, and center, that I've seen that this is a real thing. Like, people, they are more privileged than I am, for sure, or somebody that's not English, and you know what I mean? That I've seen it many, many times. I'm in this group with other chief stews. It's a WhatsApp group that my close friend, kind of like, she's the brain behind the whole operation, but I kind of assist her. And there's like more than 70 of us chief stews in one WhatsApp group. And it's quite nice, you know, it's quite positive environment. We share advice and tips. And there's a lot of chief stews that are just, you know, took on their first chief stew roles and just need a bit of guidance, and it's a positive space. And there was a girl that sent a message into the group saying how they need a sous chef and a laundry stew on her boat. Asking if we knew somebody that you know, is available and close to her boat, like located closely and whatever. And yeah, we like kind of like chimed in, said we don't know, we know, whatever. And then she said, oh, but they need to be English native speakers. And that's when I came into the conversation. I was like, well, why is that? Like, who's deciding on this? Like, what, why? And she's like, well, we are, to be honest, quite a mixed crew, but the chef wants his sous chef to be an English native speaker because he is from, I don't know where, she didn't say. But I said, but why does your laundry stew need to be English native speaker? I mean, if she's a simple laundry stew that doesn't do service, she's not much with a guest, even if she doesn't have a perfect English, even if she has a slight accent or something like that, why should that be a problem? That's where kind of the conversation stopped. Never found the like never got an answer to that. So she's like, I don't have any kind of prejudice. I'm not like nothing. I said, this is not my attack to you personally. It's just that I have been seeing these kind of things lately, like a lot. So I might even understand why they need a chief stew to be English native speaker, because she's the one that's always with the guests, and like the way she behaves and the way she talks and everything needs to be on a certain level. I know some girls that I worked with that they struggle with English, so it's not like I can put her forward with the guests like 24/7. I understand that, but why should it be a problem for a simple laundry stew? So I know a lot of girls out there that are looking for jobs that are not English native speakers that are more than capable of like fulfilling the role you need, but they're not going to be considered because they're not English native speaker. And this pisses me off, to be honest.
So now that you had access to this lovely crew agent who, I guess, validated what you have been going through, my question is, who, you know, like, are the people hiring only native speakers? If you know, obviously, I'm not sure if you know, are they also native speakers? Or are these like, you know, let's say non-native speakers, captains who are actually looking for native speakers? Does that even has a play in that?
Oh, definitely has. Every single boat that is leaning towards this all English native speaking crew is a captain that's English native speaker. I have never been on a boat with a Spanish captain, Italian captain, or I don't know, Croatian captain that's only leaning for English speaking crew. That I have never met that kind of captain or have heard of that kind of boat. So it's usually English speaking captains that prefer English speaking crew. So I have been on a boat for in 2018 with this lovely captain. He was from he's from New Zealand, and he had this kind of policy where there was 13 crew on board. He had this policy where he said that he doesn't want more than two crew members from the same country. So two was the max number. We were such a lovely mix from all over the place, American, English, Ukrainian, German, Croatian, like all over the place. Just the dynamic was amazing. And then he left the boat. I also left the boat at the same time, more or less. And another captain joined. He's English. And now the whole crew, besides the chief engineer and the chief officer, that I think that he can't even get rid of them if he wanted to be honest, because they've been there longer than he is and the owner likes them. The whole crew has changed and they're all now English native speakers. And so, I know that for a fact because I know crew that stayed on the boat a bit longer than I did and told me that he's slowly eliminating all of them and just bringing his own people that are English native speakers. And this is what I'm talking about. So it's just confusing for me. I don't know if these people had all these bad experiences with other nations, nationalities, or is this like a trend, or I don't know what's going on, to be honest.
Well, I mean, my question to you is, because you just talked about the fact that this New Zealand captain had this rule, right, which means this preference of having not more than two crew members of the same country. And wouldn't also that be seen as discrimination in the eyes of somebody who really wants to get the job, but because there's already two people, I don't know, from England, they're not able to have the opportunity to apply for the job. So, isn't that the same thing that you're talking about?
It was just roughly like that, because when we needed to take a second engineer for the rotation, they took a Ukrainian guy. So we had three Ukrainian guys at the end on board. And we took another English deckhand, so we basically had four people from England. Although the Scottish guy always said he's Scottish, he didn't kind of like wanted to be called English. I think that's kind of their thing. But it wasn't like, oh, we have two English people. If we get a good candidate, we're not going to take him. we did. So this was just roughly to tell you that he never leaned towards one like nationality or leaned towards having all English native speaking crew. There's just what I was right. trying to imply. That's what I always ask when I speak with captains, when I have interviews for a position. I like to ask, like, where is the crew from? Is it like a nice mix? Do you have all South African crew? Is it all English crew? Like, what's the situation? Because if I see all, you have Italian captains that have all Italian crew. I don't like that either. That doesn't matter. Like Croatian captains, they only have Croatian crew. That's also not good. I'm not going to work on that kind of boat if I can choose. You know what I mean? I think
it comes down to preference, because like you said at the mm-hmm. beginning, you know, people have, owners have preferences, captain have preferences. So maybe these jobs that you are looking at is simply just that, like a preference that the head of department, in this case, let's call him a captain, mm-hmm. has, if even that is the case, because it may be that another head of department, like the chef in that case that you were talking about, that he chose to have an English native speaker to join him as his sous chef. So I just wonder, is it really discrimination, or are we perceiving it as discrimination when it's really just a preference? Because to be honest with you, I am not a native speaker, and I've been in the industry for 14 years, and my first language is Spanish, and I have never, ever come across, you know, this situation in my own experience where I was discriminated because I was a native English speaker. If I was, definitely wasn't something that I knew about. You know, maybe they said, no, that person doesn't fit. And then they didn't call me or something like that. But to be honest, that mm-hmm. is something that I wouldn't really know because it wasn't something that it was like in my face kind of thing. And I also wouldn't probably apply for a job that is asking for native speakers because I am not a native speaker. So, So yeah, because I would see it as a reference, as a preference. So I just kind of want to get in a little bit into your brain and how is this being processed, you know, and why are you perceiving it as a discrimination versus a preference?
Yeah, I also don't apply to those kind of jobs. I see them a lot, but obviously, like, I'm not blind, or I don't want to waste my time or their time applying for a job that's asking for English native speaker when I'm not one. It doesn't matter how my English is good or bad, I'm not going to do it because it just doesn't make any sense. So we're on the same page on that. Preferences, yeah, people can have preferences. I'm just saying that when I see these things pop up all the time, then is it really a preference? Like, how come all these people have these kind of preferences? I have been on a boat with a captain that didn't allow me to hire a South African junior stewardess because he doesn't like South Africans. We didn't have South Africans on board. She was lovely. I know her personally. She was so keen on joining the boat. What I was said at the end was that she wasn't good looking enough, according to the owner. He had some kind of, that's another topic. We're not going to open that kind of can of worms, but that's also one of the issues. So she was perfectly, they can do it. You know, if they want a certain type of a girl working for them, I mean, they can do it. They're the owners. I'm not going into that. But I don't think that wasn't the real reason why this girl wasn't hired. She was hired because she wasn't hired because she was South African. And that's a fact. We all knew it. And I couldn't say anything about it. I didn't have a voice or could I influence his decision.
So,
this is not the only captain that I've spoken also recently to a captain about a position on board where he said that the boat is currently doesn't have any interior team. They're looking for chief stewardess. There's three girls in the interior, and I have the liberty to find my own crew. So like interior. So to find my own second stew and junior stew. And but he specifically said that he does not like Ukrainians or Italians. So you can choose from any other nation besides those two. So I'm just saying, like, I'm very, like, obviously you've been very lucky not to notice this or, you know, see it, or it didn't affect you. And that's good. But it's definitely out there. And it's not something that's in my head. I understand that there are preferences. I also have preferences. I'm not going to talk about them. I also prefer to work with some people and some people not. I'm not going to put them all in the same basket and be so general, saying that the whole nation is not good just because I had a bad experience with one person. I will give a chance to everybody because we're all different and there are good and bad people everywhere, in every country, in every nation. It doesn't matter where. But yeah, it's definitely out there. It's real. Yeah.
So you've been on the other side of the coin, where you have been the one playing the perpetrator, not being able to give the same equal opportunities in that case that you just spoke about to Ukrainians and Italians. So how, you know, and you were talking about that a lot of the times you feel like you don't have a voice or are able to really influence, you know, a certain outcome. And I just want to know, how come do you feel that you don't have a voice and that you can't influence what's actually happening?
Well, it's not a feeling, it's a fact. He said she's not going to be hired because she's not good looking enough. And so,
you're deciding
she's not going to get fired because she's not South African. And I'm like, well, why? And he's like, just because the owner wants it, because the management wants it, because the owner's PA wants it. And how are you going to fight that? Are you going to leave the boat?
Well, yes, exactly. So that's my question. If you are on a vessel that is not aligned with your values as a human being, because obviously it's not, it's, you know, as you're talking. So how come you are choosing to stay in a place of non-alignment instead of saying, you know what, I do have a voice and I'm not aligned with this, so I'm going to move out and I'm going to find a vessel where I am aligned with my values?
Well, yeah, this was in May of last year, and I left the boat in September after the two seasons. So we already had one boss trip, and, you know, I'm not the one to you know, heave the anchor in the middle of a storm. I'm not going to leave them stranded or something like that. I know how hard it is to find a crew, a good crew, and I was already like familiar with the boat and everything. I did not know the owner's preferences or the captain's preferences before joining. It's not like they tell you we don't like this kind of nation or we don't like these kind of girls or etc. But I did not stay on the boat. They crossed in September, and I said that I won't be crossing with them because it wasn't a good fit for me for those reasons and many others, but they're not important now. So I did not stick with that boat, and I don't support that kind of management, let's say, or running the boat or whatever. And that's why it's so difficult to find something good and decent, because you find a lot of these things when you join the boat. Just like they sell themselves pretty nicely, and they're really good at it. They tell you, you know, all these little stories and unicorns and rainbows. Then you join the boat and you see that it's really not the way that they, you know, the way they said it. Yeah, so it hits you like a ton of bricks, but it's a reality. But yeah. I agree with you, and I don't like it for sure because I've experienced it on my skin, and I will definitely not stay with that kind of program for a long time. But I was in the middle of the season, and I also needed to work. It's very hard to find something when things are already started, and, you know, it's not seen very well in the CV if you left at that particular moment. I've had that happen as well. So, yeah, I decided to stay. But yeah, not for long at the end.
Right. No, I celebrate you for also, you know, choosing to whether it was based out of fear or whatever, but to also value the fact that, you know, you made a commitment and you saw it through, you know, which is not the case many times. And, and I am not saying obviously stay somewhere where you're completely uncomfortable, you know, because if you have to go, you have to go. But sometimes, you know, a lot of the crew just, you know, go out and leave the boats hanging. And in my eyes, that's not really that cool.
No.
So my question to you now is, as a crew member, what do you think we can do to make a change in this whole discrimination that we're facing when it comes down to whether how you speak, you know, what languages you speak or where you're from?
Well, just starting from, you know, myself, like tomorrow when I hopefully join my next boat, if I need to find my interior crew, I will definitely not just employ Croatian girls, because I'm Croatian. I'm not definitely just going to employ girls that are English native speakers, because if I have anything to say with it, and I hope I do, because that's also one of the things I'm going to ask before joining the boat. That's one of my questions that now I don't ever miss. I have a list, because I want to cover all the ground that I possibly can, so I don't get, you know, any surprises when I join the boat. But if I can, I'm definitely going to start for myself and always try to have a nice little mix in my interior team. And that's hopefully going to reflect on the rest of the boat as well. Hopefully. I know I'm just like barking maybe up a wrong tree, or it's like, you know, just fighting a fight I'm never going to win. But I think like baby steps and small things starting from ourselves, it's a good way to go. Like this girl that posted in our group looking for a laundry student that needs to be English native. So I was like, well, start from yourself. Just hire somebody that maybe isn't and make a bit of a difference. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if she's a good match, if she has a good CV, if she has a good personality, you liked her, you know, interview went well and everything, why not? Why just, you know...
And I think it comes down to, as each individual, really getting out of their own little stories that we tell ourselves. And, you know, maybe you had a not so great experience with a certain nationality, but to allow yourself to explore that nationality again with new eyes and not just by the judgment that you set, you know, because of that past experience, that's really, I think that's key as individuals, you know, and especially head of departments that are the ones with the access to recruiting, right? New employees.
Exactly.
And I, you know, I want to celebrate you and honor the fact that you are, you know, willing to be that, that change, you know, starting with yourself and also, inspiring others to do the same. I think this, obviously this is something that does happen. I'm not saying that it doesn't happen. I definitely haven't really experienced it as a, you know, non-native English speaker. But I also wonder, is it because, you know, I wonder, like, is it because people are looking for that, you know, like in the sense of, you know, like they say, where you focus, you know, where your focus, your attentions go, right? The energy flows there. So if you're focusing on these jobs that are, you know, discriminating, right? Because this is also a perception. It's not the reality. It could potentially be the reality, but we don't really know because we haven't had access to actually speak to the person who's hiring, right?
Yeah, we don't know the reasons why they're...
I wonder if, you know, like for a fact that you are very passionate about this and all of a sudden you're like, wow, this is happening and you're focusing so much in it that that's probably why you're seeing more of it. Or do you think that... Because like before you weren't focused on it, so you didn't really see it.
But because like before, like 5 years in a row, I wasn't even basically looking for a job, you know, because I was like mostly on one boat or got a job through somebody else, like acquaintance or something. It was going that way. I was never like browsing through these agencies and job ads and stuff like that. It's lately that I have been. Because you know, you go on bigger boats and the process of hiring and everything is, it's a bit different, you know. The criteria goes up and the whole thing takes more time, and it's different. So yeah, I think yeah, maybe you are right. Maybe I am focusing more than I should, but yeah.
Because in my career, I always see.
I don't know. Maybe it's because the range of the boat that I am looking for, what I am looking for at the moment, mm-hmm. I just keep seeing that same thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not saying that there are not boats that are taking other, you know, no. There's so many boats out there. We can all get a job. There's place for everybody. I'm just saying that I know for a fact that I have been, let's say, like, quote, like damaged a few times because of these criteria. For whatever reason these people have them, the preferences or bad experiences or whatever, I don't know. I'm not getting into that. I don't know what's behind and who is behind every job post.
So I do have a question that's coming up, if I may, because mm-hmm. I have seen, since I always been in the industry, you know, I have seen that there's preferences for, especially in the med, only French speakers or non-Russian speakers or only Russian uh-huh. speakers. And, you know, if we don't speak those languages, we don't really get triggered, right? Because it's like, mm-hmm. oh, well, I wouldn't apply for that anyway, right? So it's not like a big deal. So I wonder, you know, how, or do you perceive that also as discrimination?
Not much. I haven't seen a lot of like boats that are looking for like only French speaking and Italian, but the Russian thing is coming up a lot as well. I mean, that girl that speaks Russian is not only going to speak Russian, she has to speak English as well. So it's like having a second language. I speak a second language. I mean, not just English. I'm fluent in Italian. So I have joined a boat and got a job on a boat because I had this in my CV, like I have this like third language, let's say, that I can speak fluently. So it was beneficial for me. But we all speak English, don't we? Like we have to speak English to be in this industry. It would be ridiculous if you joined yachting just by being Russian. Like this girl obviously needs to speak English as well. Her CV is in English, her management company, somebody's going to be in English speaking. It's not just the owner that she needs to deal with.
My question behind the question, I guess, is when you see a post that says, you know, only Russian speakers or only French speakers or whatever, just a language that you don't speak, you know, do you feel that you are being discriminated for that job because you're not going to be able to apply, or do you just simply don't really pay attention to it and just, you know, it's not a trigger for you because.
Probably it's not a trigger. I mean, I do acknowledge it. I don't think I'm discriminated. I think that I'm just like, oh, I'm not fortunate enough to be speaking French, or I'm not fortunate enough to be speaking, you know, Russian. But
wouldn't that be the same when you see
being discriminated for not
a native speaker English
considered for a job just because I'm not English native speaker? So it's you speak English, but you're not from England or from, do you know what I'm trying to say? Like it's not, So my answer would be I don't find that discriminating or I don't acknowledge it as being discriminating. I just acknowledge it as, I'm just not a good fit for that job because I don't speak Russian or I don't speak Italian or I don't speak French. But why am I not considered for a position just because I'm not English native speaker? Or, you know, jobs where, oh, we take people, we don't take South Africans, we don't take Aussies or Kiwis, but we do take of people from England or from so I just don't understand those kind of situations. So it's not like they're not gonna consider you because you're not from that country. They're not doing it because you don't speak English. you obviously do speak English. Maybe somebody speak it better. Some people are a bit lousier at it. I don't know, but it's a different thing here that I'm trying to point out, I think.
I understand what you're trying to point out, but what I'm trying to bring is the bigger perspective of the fact mm-hmm. that there's many different job posts, many different preferences, and because mm-hmm. we perceive it as discrimination, or we perceive it as something that is just a preference, when in fact both of them are really the same, you know. So that's what I'm trying to bring up into the light, you know, because like it is the same thing. Like, you're not being able to apply for that specific job that you could potentially be an amazing crew member for that vessel just because you don't speak a certain language. So that is, in a sense, if you want to call it, discrimination, right? But then again, you're not triggered by it the same way as you're triggered by a non-native speaker post. But it's both, you know, it's the same thing at the end of the day. You're not able to apply because you don't fit that criteria.
Yeah, I understand what you mean. Yeah, I definitely don't think it's the same thing, to be honest. Yeah, for me, it's, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I am.
So how is it different? So how is it different for you?
It's different because, like, somebody can speak French and not be from France. You know what I mean? I speak English. I'm not from England or Australia or South Africa. So it is discriminating if you don't take somebody just because he is from a certain country. I don't think
now we're not talking about language. Now we're talking about country.
It's always been a country. It's always been English native speakers come from certain countries. I'm not an English native speaker, but I speak English very well. So I can be in a position of a chief stew on a boat with my English, but I'm not going to be considered for the position because I'm not from a certain country. So this is where the trouble is for me and the dilemma. Like, why is that?
Well, I'm not sure about that, because what about if you are a person who, you know, let's say your parents are from England and they raise you in Africa for whatever reason, you know, maybe you were part of the government or something and they transfer you there. And, you know, mm-hmm. even though you were raised in Africa, and I'm not talking South Africa, I'm just saying Africa, so, you know, in a country there, mm-hmm. you are still a native speaker because that is the first language you learn. So that wouldn't be really a country thing.
Yeah, but like for me, it's not like for that person, if like he was, he moved somewhere in Africa, Nigeria or Kenya or somewhere, and his parents are from Australia or England, he, to me, is still English. Like, I'm not sure that person has just a Kenyan passport. They probably have dual citizenship, and they're always going to give the other passport when they apply for a job. Like so many South Africans that are proud to be South Africans because like it's an amazing country and everything, but if they have that second passport that's Irish, German, Swiss, English, like so many of them and my good friends, they're gonna give that one forward because it's easier for them, it opens more doors, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I don't necessarily think that but it's a gray zone. I don't know. We can go either way.
Really,
definitely, it is a preference that is not discriminating. I'm not saying that all are and that all people are bad and everything. I'm just saying, yeah, I've heard some stories. I've felt it on my own skin, and you know, I just sometimes wish it wasn't like that. That sometimes these people that are not English native speakers, like me and many others, are given an equal opportunity at some positions. Because we also can do it and are capable. But we were not, like, let's say, fortunate enough, bunny ears I'm using because you don't see me, but to be born in England or something like that, you know? So that's like my point. Like, I'm not trying to be malicious. I don't have anything against anybody. But yeah, it would be nice. But, you know, the world is a funny place. Yeah, you're always going to find these obstacles, but you know, we can get through it. You know, like I said, there's so many boats out there that consider any kind of nationality. So that's awesome. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm going to stop working or not going to join another boat because of that. Or yeah, I have many other opportunities that come my way that I'm happy to embark on. It's just, yeah, it was just something that I've noticed and, you know, that rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah. And I want to thank you for coming to the show and sharing, you know, your thoughts and your experience, because what I'm taking, and I hope that all the viewers take if they wish, is that one, change starts with yourself. So if you are in that position where you can make a difference and have a more integrative crew dynamic, you know, with different countries, then, you know, you have that choice that you can choose that. Also, I think I take the fact that we should, as individuals, get out of our own stories, you know, of judgment of what has happened in the past with certain nationalities or crew members, and really allow ourselves to explore that that country through another crew member. Because at the end of the person, at the end of the day, the person is not the country. The person is just an individual on their own.
Exactly.
And I also
just be just be more open minded towards everybody. Yeah,
exactly. And I also do take the fact that, like you said, this is a very gray area. And it is also very important for people to understand that that may you that what you may be going through may just be your own perception of your own story. It may not literally be discrimination. It could be just a simple preference for whatever reason, you know? And if you really want to know, I think the one thing that was really important that you said was you need to ask the right questions. You know, when we go into interviews, we listen to the story that they want to say, but we don't really ask the important questions that are important to you. So in this case, this will be an important question that now you know from experience you're going to ask. So it's very important as a crew member, when you go to the interview, ask all the questions that you really need to know that are important, you know, all the things that are truly important for you to know if this is the right vessel, if this is the right crew, if this is the right owner I actually want to work for.
I totally agree. Like, that's what I tell to all of the stewardesses also who like apply and then I end up interviewing. Like, if you seem very lethargic, if you don't ask me anything, if you're very like, oh, I'm happy with anything, it's good, like, it doesn't make me attracted to you. Like, I want you to ask me stuff. And I think the captains are the same. Like, if you're just there sitting like a duck, just like not non-responsive, everything's great for you, that's just something fishy there. So ask as many questions as you can. Like, obviously, don't be, you know, too much, don't exaggerate, but like the right kind of questions, the stuff that interests you. And because you will be living with these people, not, you know, 24/7. It's hard work, long hours, it's stressful, and you just need to find something that you feel comfortable in, environment that, you know, you can thrive in and not be suffocated by anything.
Absolutely.
Or need to leave the next day, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And by the way, guys, I have actually, I'm glad that this is coming up, because I recently made a whole video about this, of what to ask on an interview. And I made a PDF about it. So you can go to yachtsmermaid.com and sign up and download it for free. It is meant for chief stews, but most of the questions are related to any crew member. It doesn't matter in what area of the vessel you're applying for. So this is a really good guideline just to get your creative juices kicking in, and then you can obviously, you know, edit it to your own needs, but at least you have a guideline. So Sarah, Sarah, I don't know, because this is the Z, is there anything else that's coming up for you that you want to share before we wrap it up?
No, this is like basically like the what I wanted to talk to you about, like, and yeah, I'm just happy that you're very like, you know, you kind of challenge me to like even say more and kind of like question some things and make me think, which is amazing. That means that you're a good interviewer. Like, you're not just there sitting and, you know, oh, okay, okay, whatever. So it's quite nice, like the dynamic conversation. That's something that that I'm happy that happened. Yeah. So no, I mean, this is the bone that I wanted to pick on, and yeah, I said what I had to, and I'm glad I did. Yeah, so thank you very much for this opportunity.
Thank you for for playing the game with me, because I know that sometimes, you know, it may feel like I'm pushing the buttons, but yeah, like you said, that's part of allowing the other person to really dig a little bit deeper into what they're really trying to share and conveying the message, you know, for those who are watching. So thank you so much. I am very happy that you decided to join me. And everybody, please know that, you know, there's so many resources out there for you. So in the support directory in the yachtsmermaids.com, you can find help, you know, from all sorts of different things that you could be potentially experiencing in yachting. So if you need help, go check it out. And yeah, I just really hope that you take what you need and leave behind what you don't. And if you have something to share, wisdom to pass on, please, and you want to be part of the Uncensored show and have a voice, just apply on the link below. And yeah, and then we shall hopefully see you soon. So thank you, Sarah, again. And that's a wrap.
Thank you.
Bye, guys. Until next time.